this morning as we approach the Word of God. I want to invite you to take your Bible, please, and open with me, if you would, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 this morning. Today, as we consider together this psalm, I want to see with you, and I want us to learn together, the satisfaction of His fellowship. The satisfaction of His fellowship. Follow along as I read this psalm, then we'll bow together in a word of prayer. Psalm 63 reads, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate upon Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. And as we come together and we gather around the Word of God, we find truth that we need, Lord, as we look to a new year. Lord, that we as Your people would be satisfied truly this year in the fellowship of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, as we bow here at this moment, though, we are mindful that while we're gathering here for worship, Lord, we again want to be reminded of our brother Gary, as he's in the hospital. Lord, we pray that You would watch over him and keep him, and for Judy as well, that, Lord, You'd watch over them. And Father, we pray that You would minister to their needs at this moment. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it. But Father, we thank You that we're here. And we thank You that we can come and study the Word of God, and we can worship in His holy hill. And Lord, we ask and pray that You would teach us and help us, Lord, on this day, reveal to us the truth of Thy Word. We'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scripture has much to say for all of us concerning our fellowship and the blessing and importance of our fellowship with our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is truly the fellowship with God, one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to all mankind. In fact, if you were to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, you would find that you and I are made for His fellowship. We're told in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas and the fowls of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Of all God's creation, only mankind was made in the image and likeness of God. We were made in the image of likeness of God that we might be able to fellowship with God. And the only thing that broke that fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoyed was sin. Because of sin, that fellowship with God was destroyed. It was broken. Yet we find immediately upon the breaking of that fellowship that God ordained a way for that fellowship to be restored. God, through the seed of a woman, would provide a Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come and die and save His people from their sins, that you and I might enjoy again that fellowship, that it would be restored with God. God created us for fellowship, and He has provided the opportunity for us to enjoy that fellowship. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the importance of that fellowship when He talked to us about the necessity of abiding in the vine, abide in me and I in you. And we understand the necessity of us abiding with Jesus Christ that we might enjoy the fellowship of Christ and our God. Our topic this morning is not the abiding in fellowship. Our topic this morning is being satisfied with that fellowship. I want to ask you a question this morning. I think most of us would admit that we desire to have fellowship with God. Matter of fact, if we would go around the room today, I think everyone here would say, yes, I desire, I long for fellowship with God. But I wonder this morning this, is that fellowship with God enough? Are you truly satisfied to know that as a man, as a woman, as a believer, you have fellowship with God? The way we know that is, I want to ask you this question. If everything that you held dear was stripped away from you, what's the first thing that you would cry out for to be restored? If everything that you held dear was stripped away from you, what would be the first thing that you would cry out and ask God to restore to you? When you and I come to Psalm 63, that is precisely where David is. Everything that David knew and everything that David held dear was stripped away from him. Although he was the king, he was living in the wilderness. He had received much blessing throughout his life, but now, in a moment's time, he is fleeing for his very life. Most scholars believe, and I would agree with most, that this was written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. Some have suggested that it was written more during the time of Saul's seeking of his life. But either way, the reality is everything in David's life was stripped away. He was running, fleeing for his life. And that which he held dear is now gone. His family is gone. His home is gone. The sanctuary where he worshipped was gone. If you look at the inscription above your psalm, it says that David wrote this while in the wilderness of Judah. He is not living in the palace. He is living now in the wilderness. He is forced to flee from his home, his city, his family, and everything that he held dear. And with all of that being the case, David in this psalm reveals his heart to us. And by the way, it's no wonder that God would say, he's a man after my own heart. Because the one thing that David cries out for, and the one thing that he longs for, and the one thing that he mentions over again, is his God. His desire was to have fellowship with God. His desire was to enjoy again the wonderful blessings and the bounty of that fellowship that he knew in the sanctuary now in the wilderness. He longed for his God. That was his heart. That was his desire. Everything was stripped away, and he didn't ask for his kingdom. He didn't ask to be back in his palace. He didn't ask to be back in his comfort. He didn't ask for the rebellion to stop. He longed for fellowship with his God. You could take everything else away from David. Just don't strip away that fellowship with God. So again, I ask us the question this morning, is fellowship with God enough? Are we satisfied to have that fellowship? If I might, at the outset of our study this morning, let me just make one observation here. Psalm 63, I think, shows to us that we all will face times in desert places. By the way, that's not just simply referring to Kristen who goes to college in the high desert. Okay? And by the way, it is desert out there. okay? There is more dirt than there is grass there. It's almost like there's more rock here than there is grass. Hers is all sand. That's not what we're referring to. All of us will go through those times within our lives that we are in the desert places, in the dry and weary lands. Sometimes I think we associate the dry and the weary lands as a place where we find God's disfavor. God must not be pleased with me. That's why things are going so hard for me. Can I remind you of this thought? Who in Scripture, in the Old Testament, knew more of the favor and blessing of God than David? He was a man greatly favored of God and greatly blessed of God. So let's not associate the desert place with God's disfavor. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And for David, it was in the desert right now. And so as we see that, as we understand that, we can see the importance and the value of such place, that we would be again satisfied only with the fellowship with God. By the way, Israel was God's chosen people. On their way to the promised land, how did God lead them? Through desert place. By design, He took them through the desert. God has for us at times the dry and the weary lands. But there ought to be within our heart a longing for that which satisfies, and that is simply God Himself. The question that we must ask is, how will we respond in our seasons of the desert? David longed for the times of fellowship with the Lord. As you and I come to the close of one year and look forward to a new year, I wonder what the Lord has in store for us. We all sit at the end of 2012, looking to 2013, and we're expecting better. We're expecting blessing. We may this year know bounty, or we may know barrenness. We may have a year of sickness, or we may have a year of health. It may be better, but it might be worse. There are challenges that will lie before us, and there are certainly blessings that are in store for us. But no matter what the outcome of this year is, it should be truly enough that we have the fellowship of God. I want you to look with me at this psalm, and I want you to see with me three things that caused David to be satisfied with the fellowship of God. Three things that caused him to be able to say, even though everything in life was stripped away from him, the longing of his heart was to have fellowship with God. Number one, I want you to see with me, David was conscious of a personal relationship. He was conscious of a personal relationship. Notice how he begins in verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. David was aware and conscious of a personal relationship with God. In the midst of the desert place, he understood this truth, that God was not only God, but God was my God. O God, Thou art my God. In the midst of this trying place, in the midst of the desert, he remembered that he had a personal relationship with God, with Elohim, the Creator, the most powerful being on the face of all the world and the universe. There is none like unto Him. There is none that rival our God, omnipotent. David said, He is my God. O God, Thou art my God. You know, David's current status was not one that would cause many of us to rejoice. But his comfort is found in the truth that although others had forsaken him, God had not. O God, Thou art my God. David wasn't occupied with the circumstances around him. He was occupied by the God above him. O God, Thou art my God. As you and I go throughout the coming year and as we face the various circumstances that come our way, where will you be occupied with? David was occupied with his God. He was conscious of a personal relationship. I want you to see with me two things that David occupied himself with concerning his God. Number one, he was occupied with God's grace as it was revealed in his covenant. He was occupied with God's grace as it is revealed in his covenant. David was fully aware of the fact that he was part of God's chosen people. He understood that God was his God. He remembered the grace of God that made that possible. God had chosen Israel. And God had chosen David. And David remembered the wonderful grace of his God as seen in his covenant with his people. And he was able to be reminded that God belonged to him and he to God. They had entered into a wonderful covenant. Is it not a wonderful thought for you and I that no matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, no matter if everyone around us turns away from us, there is one who will never leave you nor forsake you. Because he's entered into a covenant with you, the covenant of salvation. And no one can take that away from you. Nothing can separate you from the love of Almighty God. No one can strip that away. For John chapter 10 tells us that we are held in the hand of Almighty God, and no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. David was aware and occupied with God's grace as revealed in his covenant. But he's also occupied with God's loving kindness as seen in his dealings with David. Look at verse 3. David says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." David understood that the loving kindness of God was better to him than his life. I think that's the truth that David had come to grips with in his life. See, David had fallen and David had sinned with Bathsheba. He committed adultery and he committed murder. There was not a sacrifice that David could offer in order to appease the wrath of God, for the law of God demanded David to die. But God in his loving kindness and God in his mercy spared David's life. And you go and you read through Psalm 51, and David understood that it's not sacrifice that the Lord desired anyway. What God really wants from you and I is a broken and a contrite heart. He wants truth in the inward parts. And David had learned of the loving kindness of God, and that was better to him than life. And David was occupied in the midst of all that he would face, no matter what trial would come, no matter what difficulties he would face. There was still the loving kindness and the mercy of God. There was still the truth that God loves me. And no one can take that from me. Why? Because, O God, Thou art my God. He was conscious of a personal relationship. And that was enough to satisfy. Look at verse 7. David says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." David remembers that in times past, God had been his help. No doubt he could consider many things in his past. David could consider, no doubt, the time in which he was able to kill the bear and the lion with his own bare hands while watching his father's sheep. He could be reminded of the truth that although Goliath came with all the battlements of war, David was able to enter into the field with only a sling and 5 smooth stones and conquer. Consider the fact that David had reminded of the truth of all the battles that he had been in. You remember the song that Israel would sing? Saul had killed their thousands, but David their 10,000s. A man who battled in such a way as David did, and yet God protected him through it all. He was reminded of the fact that God had been his help, and by his loving kindness, God had cared for him, God had spared him, God had provided, and God had protected him. David was conscious of the truth that there's a personal relationship with God. Today I wonder, as you and I look forward to a new year, new opportunities, new challenges, new trials, are we determined to live this year conscious of our personal relationship with God? Because of the fact He is your God. And will that be enough? That God is my God. That's what should satisfy every longing of our soul. I want you to see a second thing with me. He was committed to a personal pursuit. He was committed to a personal pursuit. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Not only was David conscious of a personal relationship, but David was committed to a personal pursuit. David would be satisfied with God's fellowship. And it's that fellowship that he would pursue. It was God and God alone that was the focus of David's life. Throughout this psalm, we see David's determination and we see his diligent pursuit of God. I want you to notice these with me. Look at verse 1. David declared that he would seek the Lord early. Early will I seek thee. That word early there can refer to the time of day. It could mean that David said, I'm going to rise up early in the morning and I'm going to seek the Lord then. I think there's a better meaning though to it. Because the word early there can also be understood by this word, earnestly. And David is saying, earnestly I will seek after God. He was committed to earnestly seek the Lord. You know, the sanctuary was not available to David right now. I think as David was king and in the city there, that he spent much time in the sanctuary of God. Matter of fact, in Psalm 27 and verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David spent much time in the sanctuary of God. But that was no longer available to him. He is now found in the midst of the wilderness, but that didn't stop David from pursuing after his God. Early will I seek thee. He was passionate. He was earnestly going to seek after God. He was going to be intent that God be near. Also in verse 1, David goes on and says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and weary land where no water is. The idea here is that David was seeking the Lord with his whole being. His soul thirst and his flesh long for the Lord. By the way, that word thirst reminds us of a need that must be satisfied and cannot be ignored. When you and I are overtaken by thirst, we must satisfy that need. Your body cannot ignore its desire for water. You maybe experience this as I do with the common cold. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I have to get up and I need a drink of water because everything dries out. The tongue is somewhat stuck to the roof of the mouth. You have to go and satisfy your body's desire. You can't just roll back over and go to sleep. You've got to get up because thirst requires that the need be met. And understand what David said is, I need the Lord. My soul needs the Lord. And he was going to pursue the Lord. Look at verse 4. David declared that he would pursue the worship of the Lord. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. David said, I'll pursue the worship of God. Look at verse 5. He committed to pursuing the Lord by the needs of praise. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David said, I will seek to praise the Lord. Verse 6, David said that in the night watches, when sleep has left him, he would meditate upon the Lord. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches. You ever have those sleepless nights? Where's your mind go to? Know where it usually goes to? Lord, I really want to go to sleep. David said, you know, when I'm awake at night and I can't sleep, and no doubt I think as king he had those nights. He said, upon the night watches, I'll meditate on thee. His longing, his desire, that which satisfied was God. Look at verse 7. David said, I'll rejoice in the Lord at all times. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In verse 8, David declares that my soul followeth hard after thee. David was committed in all that he did to be satisfied only when God himself was obtained. Notice with me, David never once here prays to ask that the Lord remove this time from him. He does not pray that God destroy his enemy and restore him to the palace. David was occupied with the pursuit of God and was satisfied merely to have his fellowship. As I was preparing this message, I came across a quote that I think is very apt for all of us. The commentator makes the statement. He says, this brings us face to face with a gigantic failure in the lives of many Christians. That is, desiring God's presence and his help in times of trial and difficulty without ever giving ourselves to a determined and devoted pursuit of God. We often want what God can give us rather than God himself. In a dry and weary land where no water is, David was satisfied if he had God. Not for everything to be restored, but that he not lose that personal relationship and not forget his personal pursuit of God. What satisfied his soul was God himself. Could that be said of you, of me, this morning? Do we want only what God can give? Or do we want God himself? That's all the difference. There's a third thing, though, that I find this morning. Not only was David one who was committed to a personal pursuit and conscious of a personal relationship, but he was also convinced of a powerful rejoicing. He was convinced of a powerful rejoicing. Look at verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. I think there's a sermon all in and of itself in that final phrase. But the first part makes it very clear that David said, I will rejoice. David was convinced of a day of rejoicing. David does not pray for victory or deliverance, as we mentioned a moment ago, because he was convinced that the Lord would prevail. He was convinced of a day of rejoicing. I want you to go back to verse 2. I think the secret of that is here. David says, to see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David understood that although he today was in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, he was conscious of a personal relationship.
He was committed to the personal pursuit of God, and he was convinced that he would see the power and the glory of God as he once saw in his times in the sanctuary.
David realized that he would see again the power and the glory of God. He understood that in all things God is omnipotent and he reigns over all. And he was convinced there would be a day of rejoicing. And the reason he was convinced of that truth was because of the time he had spent with the Lord in his sanctuary. W. Graham Scroggie made this observation. He said, "Our visions in the mountaintop should be our comfort in the valley. In days of rapture, we should store up for days of depressions. For you see, it matters little how dry and weary the land is, so long as we are sure that God is ours." G. Campbell Morgan said this, "Our past is the inspiration for the present. Happy indeed is the soul who is able to make sorrow the occasion of song and darkness the opportunity for shining." Folks, David was convinced within his heart that there was a day of rejoicing because he was convinced that there was none like unto his God, and God reigns. And God satisfied the longing of his soul. See, it didn't matter to David what the circumstances were. It didn't matter if he was in the palace. In the palace, he left the palace to go to the sanctuary. And in the wilderness, he still pursued after God. Because that which satisfied David was the fellowship of God. So I want to ask you again this morning. Are you convinced that God is more than enough? Will God and only God in your life in 2013... be enough for you? You say, "I have big plans for 2013. I believe it's going to be a better year. I think it's going to be a bigger year. I think it's going to be a greater year. It's going to be a healthier. I'm finally going to get on track. I've got my goals. I've got my plans. It's all laid out." What if all of that is stripped away from you in a moment's time? Is God more than enough? Some of you know better what that feels like to have the world that you know be stripped away. But God is more than enough. And I think those who have experienced that would be able to say that to us. It is true. God is enough. I am satisfied with his fellowship. Is God being my God all that you need? I trust as we look to a new year, we'll be satisfied with his fellowship. The way we do that is as David shows us. You and I ought to be convinced that there is a powerful day of rejoicing. And as we are convinced of that, we should be committed to a personal pursuit of finding God, of knowing God, and to be conscious of a personal relationship with him. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and weary land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Let us be satisfied with his fellowship. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and study together this passage of Scripture. We thank you for the truth that it reveals. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God, and we can claim that, each and every one who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We can claim that as David did. My God, thou art my God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, each and every one, to live conscious of that every day, to pursue you personally every day, and to be convinced that there is a day of rejoicing coming because you are our God. Period. We need nothing more. We want nothing less but God. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be satisfied with your fellowship. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.